Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or our membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
ACB Radio is brought to you by the American Council of the Blind. ACB, the people that bring you ACB Radio.
ACB Radio is proud to present Cooking Without Looking. This is the audio soundtrack from the TV shows which have been recently aired in North America by some public broadcast television stations. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005. And now, on to Cooking Without Looking, right here on ACB Radio Mainstream.
My eyes started to get blurry. I almost hit another car and I immediately pulled over. If you're losing your eyesight, lose your keys, but not your dignity.
Please call Vision World Foundation toll free at 888-290-7005. This is Cooking Without Looking, the first television show produced especially for people who are blind and visually impaired.
Welcome to Cooking Without Looking. I'm Alan Preston. Today we'll not only be cooking up some food in the kitchen, but we'll also be stirring up some food for thought.
Hi, I'm Annette Watkins. For those of you who are sighted, know what a challenge it could be sometimes to find that special person.
Hi, I'm Celia Chacon. But imagine having a relationship with someone that's blind or visually impaired.
Today we will not only be cooking stuff up in the kitchen, but we'll also be talking with our couples, and they will tell us how they keep the passion simmering without boiling over, even with blindness or a severe visual impairment as an added ingredient in the relationship.
And in Food for Thought, I'll be speaking with a man who was blind, regained his sight, became a minister, and began counseling countless couples.
I also want to remind everyone that Annette, Alan, and I are vision impaired or blind, as our guests are today, and those sitting in our studio audience.
So, let's get our couples in the kitchen, keeping love alive when blindness or visual impairment is an added ingredient on Cooking Without Looking. Today I'd like to welcome Jackie and Gary to our Cooking Without Looking show. They own Out of Sight Travel. It's an agency that specializes in travel for people who are blind and visually impaired. I guess you guys would sell tickets to other people, too, wouldn't you?
Sure. And guide dog users, too.
And guide dogs. Now, that was a giveaway. To look at you guys, I'm not sure which one of you is blind, but, Gary, I saw you using that guide dog over there. Would you like to tell us a little bit about your blindness and your guide dog?
Sure. My blindness was caused by congenital glaucoma, and I lost my sight totally back in about 84. And in 87, I got my first guide dog through Southeastern Guide Dogs.
That's the same place that my guide dog, John T., comes from.
And my second guide dog, Dr. John, comes from the same school because I figured I'd stick with the best.
How did you guys meet?
We're both members of the Port St. Lucie Lions Club, and that's how we met.
And did your blindness pose any difficulties in your relationship, in your early relationship?
Well, I just couldn't drive to where she was, so.
Let's see, you're the blind person. You're the drive director, is that right?
I'm the drive director. And not only am I the drive director for our personal life, I'm the drive director for Southeastern Guide Dogs.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. Well, I understand that today we're going to be cooking up some chicken in a crock pot. Is that right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Now, as I understand it, Jackie, this recipe is sort of a peacemaker in your family. Would you like to explain a little about that?
Well, we use the pieces of the chicken. So we use the chicken leg quarters. And it's also a peacemaker because not only do we have the agency, but I have to do other things as well, and I'm not always at home. So for peace of mind, Gary will have a meal to eat when I'm not there to prepare something for him.
So it isn't like you guys have a fight over this thing and you make up when you eat it or anything?
No.
No? Well, that's quite an interesting relationship. And you own a travel agency, too.
Uh-huh. It's out-of-sight travel, and we specialize in travel for the visually impaired. And one of the things we like to concentrate on is the fact that we do provide itineraries and information in accessible braille. An accessible format, be it braille, large print, or tape. And we also will help you secure papers to take your guide dogs out of the country, because a lot of people don't realize that once you leave the United States, you're not covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act.
That's right. And when you travel out of the country with your guide dog, you need to make sure that your guide dog is well protected.
Mm-hmm. And that they're allowed where they're going. A lot of countries still have quarantines and won't allow them.
Hmm. Well, those would be places I probably wouldn't want to travel to then. All right. Shall we get into our spectacular crock pot chicken? Tell us what goes into this now. Gary, it's all up to you.
For one, chicken.
Chicken? That's a good thing to have in crock pot chicken.
And then,
how much chicken do you put in there?
Usually, the size crock pot we have, I put about three pieces. I usually put them in a, you know, around the edge.
Let's start out with how big is a crock pot?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a 55-gallon drum? No.
That's the one I use for when I cook for a group.
But it's a standard crock pot? Are crock pots a standard size? What, a couple of quarts, give or take?
Yeah. I don't know, about four or five quarts.
That's about a gallon.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's
but
about four
I
quarts.
Use the, I use the leg and thigh quarter, you know, section.
Okay.
And what I do is I season it.
Okay, but now how much chicken?
A couple pounds,
3 pounds maybe?
Depends on the size, but I use about three pieces. That fits comfortably in my pot.
Whatever fits comfortably in there. Okay.
And usually how I season it, put it in.
What do you season it with?
Poultry seasoning and garlic. And I just add onion slices to it to add a little extra flavor.
Okay.
And then I'll put it in with the meat portion down and the...
The meat goes on the bottom?
Yeah. And then the other stuff goes on the outside of the pot, you know, towards
Can you show us how you do that in there?
Okay.
Oh, by the way, Gary, are you totally blind?
Yes, I am.
You are total. Okay.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
You've never seen it in print, though, right?
Okay, you need to season it, Gary.
Oh, okay.
Now, you're just using a regular poultry season.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
About how much do you put on there?
It's to taste. I just sprinkle some in my hand and then smear it all over the chicken.
That's a good way to measure. You can feel how much you have in your
hand.
At
least I know it's getting to where it needs to be.
That's true.
So that's just my little technique, but everybody has their own way of...
I can remember one time shaking pepper out of a shaker and thinking I had quite a bit on there, finding out it was all blocked up and it wasn't any on there at all. I could have been shaking for a long time. All right, so now you're rubbing that on there by hand, and you do this on each of the pieces, on all the sides of the pieces,
Well, the meat side, mostly, you know, because the inner side doesn't really. And usually we prepare it by cleaning off the getting the fat globules off and
You take the skin off?
Not the skin, no, but just there's usually the fat underneath on the back side, so we just take that off. And then by the joint, there's that little fatty stuff. We take that off and, you know, except kind
you've
of...
Already, you've already done that with these pieces.
Yeah, that's all. We pre-prepared this. So then I just...
You can tell the difference in the spices by the smell of them, right?
That and the garlic usually is cakier, so I, you know, can hear it rattling.
Okay, you can hear it rattling. I was wondering if maybe the containers were a different shape.
No, not really.
Now, tell me, how do you cut that onion without cutting a finger off?
Very carefully.
Very carefully.
I just use a regular knife.
It's not a real sharp knife?
Sharp enough.
You cut up, what, about half of that onion
About that, yeah.
Okay.
It just depends on the size of it. And usually what I do is I take the bigger rings, the inner rings, and put it, drape it over the end of the chicken leg.
And that, what, that kind of keeps it in a sort of a tight ball?
Yeah, and it'll cook in, and it has something to hold on to.
Okay.
And I do that with every piece of chicken. And then what's neat is, like, after you finish cooking the chicken, you can leave it, you know, some of the bones in, and add water and celery and carrots and whatever, and make chicken soup.
And have chicken soup
mm-hmm.
afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Now, that sounds great. What a simple idea. Mm-hmm. Okay, have you got everything in there?
Yep.
Now that it's all in there, what do you do with it?
I just leave it on. I cover it, turn it on high for, what is it, about two and a half hours. It depends on the size of the chicken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just you do it to taste. But it usually takes about 2.5 hours on high. And then take it out and eat it.
2.5 hours on high,
mm-hmm.
and it should be well done, or done properly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the chicken's done to the right temperature mm-hmm. and everything?
Or if you let it go a little long, you just call 911 and they'll just put the fire out.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I can't wait to see what it's like when it's done. Jackie, Gary, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your crockpot chicken with us on Cooking Without Looking.
Thanks for having us.
Gary's Spectacular Crockpot Chicken. Rub 3 pieces of chicken with poultry seasoning. Place in a crockpot. Slice 1 medium onion into rings and place it along with 2 cloves of garlic in the crockpot. Cover and turn on high for 2.5 hours.
Thank you, and welcome back to Cooking Without Looking. Today I'd like you to meet Bob and Carlene Smith. Carlene, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've happily married for 58 years.
Wonderful.
And I developed macular degeneration about 8 years ago, and so it's changed our lives. But
yeah, make some adjustments.
We've made a lot of adjustments.
Like what adjustments have had?
Well, for instance, I sing in a choir, and I can't read the music anymore, so I take a tape recorder, and I tape the music, and then I print the words off very large so I can see them. So I've managed to keep on doing that.
That's wonderful. So you haven't stopped living. You've continued.
Oh, yes.
With what you like to do.
And then I've had to stop driving about 5 years ago, and Bob drives all the time. So
well, that's good.
We keep going.
And I understand you do flower arranging as well?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And
Japanese flower arranging.
Japanese flower arranging.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
and you
enjoy
cook,
that.
And you're very, yeah. very busy.
Yeah.
And you sing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Bob, tell me about living with Carlene. What adjustments have you made in your household?
Very little.
Okay.
Then it wasn't necessary because she keeps running full speed.
But she needs you for some things, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, are you her designated driver, or are you a volunteer in that sense, or how does that go?
Well, I'm the chauffeur.
Okay.
100%.
100%, okay. You go grocery shopping together?
Oh, yes.
You go out sightseeing and doing everything together, obviously, since you have to be her wheels.
Yeah.
The man on wheels.
We just came back from the Canadian Rockies.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful. And how did that go?
Oh, beautifully.
Needed a little help there or no? Or did you
really.
Go rock climbing or?
No, we didn't. We went on the train for 2 days and then on a motor coach.
That's beautiful.
And we
yes.
were with a group. So,
that's nice. So everything was explained to you then?
Yes.
As they went by sightseeing?
Could see, you know, they were telling us what we were seeing, and I
mm-hmm.
could see some of it. It
mm-hmm.
was good.
Any advice for our viewers who are like us, you know, married to somebody that's sighted and we are impaired or totally?
Well, just, and I should pay attention to this myself, try not to become too impatient because I am impatient. I like for things to be done on time, and if Bob doesn't move quite as fast as I think he should, why, it's hard to keep a rein on that. So you must learn patience because you are disabled to a certain extent and can't do things that you used to do. as fast as you used to.
That's true. And that's significant, what you've said. And in turn, I too have to learn to be patient, but more with myself. Because I am slower than I used to be, so I'm more careful what I'm doing. But when I'm in a hurry, I pay for it.
That's
you know,
right. Mm-hmm.
Where I'm a little different. My husband is like quick on the draw. He's got to let's move. And I can move, but hey, wait a minute, okay?
I'm that way.
Let's hurry up and wait here, okay? But, well, that's
I'm
good.
I'm the slow one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Okay, we don't want to admit that on camera, do we? Okay, now, Carlene, how about the recipe? What are we going to make today?
Well, I'm making a cranberry salad today. It's a congealed salad. And I've put one package of black cherry jello in here, and I've added some boiling water to dissolve it. And it reminds me of when I was a little, and I guess the first time I spent in the kitchen was helping Mother make jello, and I always had to be sure and get it completely dissolved.
Exactly.
Or you don't want jello with its grainy.
No.
And then I've...
That had to be a good time in your life, right?
Yes, it was.
Spending time in the kitchen with your mother.
Oh, I watched her all the time.
Yes.
She was a good cook. And I've diluted, drained a small can of crushed pineapple, and I need to get
about how many ounces is that?
A small can. I don't know how many ounces it is.
Bob, how many ounces is that can?
8 ounces.
Eight ounces. So you drain the liquid from the can.
Yeah, and then I want a cup of juice, so I'll add... I usually add... ice cubes.
You usually add ice cubes.
Ice cubes to it, and that makes the gel...
Congeal quicker.
Quicker,
correct.
More quickly.
Now, let me go back a little bit. You used 1 cup of boiling water
one small or one large package
of jello?
One small package of black cherry jello.
A black cherry jello.
Uh-huh.
Then we've added to that the juice from the 8-ounce can of crushed pineapple.
That's correct. And then I'll let that set for a while before I add the pineapple.
All right. Oops. All right, I heard that go in.
Yeah, splatter you.
Okay. You said you added water, though, correct?
Yes, I added water to make a cup of juice.
Oh, okay.
There was not enough pineapple juice.
So it's one cup of water, boiling water to the jello, and 1 cup
of juice.
Of the juice and the water.
Juice and the water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then a cup of dried cranberries.
Mm, sounds good.
And a half a cup of... walnuts.
Are those crushed? Broken?
They're broken.
They're
walnuts,
broken.
Yeah.
They're not
hands. You can use any nuts you want, but I like the walnuts.
The walnuts, yes, I like the walnuts.
With this
too. Pecans are good, too.
Yeah, pecans are great. And the cranberries are wonderful. I keep them on hand all the time. You know, we used to just
correct.
Get them one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can get them year-round in the freezer
right,
now.
Uh-huh,
yeah,
right. I like to, when I make Waldorf salad, instead of using raisins, I use the
dried cranberries.
It makes it great. Now this, I will try to get it in here without
making a mess.
Splattering.
Don't worry. Without splattering.
Without
wonderful.
Splattering.
Wonderful. You're doing a great job, I understand. Okay. It's smelling good.
It does smell good, doesn't it? I wonder if I can dare empty it out of here.
Let's dare.
Dare.
Dare, yes. I would go for it. Why not? What's the worst that could happen? We'll all wear it a little.
That's right. We don't want to wear it.
Don't worry,
you
Bob.
You don't want to get
Bob
it on
can,
your pretty
Bob
blouse.
Bob can be washed off. Right, Bob?
Yeah.
You can be washed off, right? Okay.
Here, I'll use this.
Okay. Do you have a spatula or something?
I have a spoon here.
Okay, good. And you put this into what kind of a mold?
This is a ring mold.
A ring mold?
You can
mold?
Put it in
okay.
any kind of a mold.
Because I can't
want.
See a thing, so
yes.
I was wondering.
Uh-huh. It's a ring mold.
Okay, and then you let that chill?
Chill until it's set.
Would you do that overnight or just a couple of hours?
Just a few hours will do it.
Okay.
In the refrigerator?
Yeah, in the refrigerator.
Well, let's hope so. Right?
Yeah.
Now, you say when you add ice cubes to it, it congeals quicker, though.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to wait quite
all
as
right.
long. I put the mold down into some hot water to loosen it from the side.
All right.
And that's loose now. So I put my serving platter on top of the mold and turn it over.
And say a prayer
and
that it'll work.
And say a prayer.
All right.
Woo.
And jiggle jiggle.
And that sounds like it did it.
All right. Yeah, I heard it flop.
And then it has a hole in the middle.
Okay.
So we're going
we got
to
fill the hole.
Yeah, we're going to fill the hole.
All right, what are we filling it with?
Filling it with package of sour cream. It's a cup.
One cup of sour cream. Your lettuce.
Your spatula.
And what are we going to do now?
I'm putting the sour cream in a bowl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
And then I'm going to put in a tablespoon of horseradish, but I'll use my teaspoon because the tablespoon won't go down in there.
Okay, so you put three teaspoons in.
Yeah, that's about
3 teaspoons of horseradish.
There we go.
Into an 8 ounces of sour cream.
Sour cream.
Okay.
And then a pinch of salt.
Pinch of salt. Okay.
And a tablespoon of sugar.
And a tablespoon of sugar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mix it up.
I'm getting hungry.
It's smelling good here, that's all I can say. Okay.
The horseradish I smell.
I smell something good.
You've been listening to Cooking Without Looking on ACB Radio Mainstream. Join us again next week, same time, same place, for more interesting recipes and meet some more interesting folks who don't need to look while they cook. ACB Radio is grateful to Renee Rentmeester, producer of Cooking Without Looking, for allowing us to use this audio. If you would like information and strategies for contacting your own local public television station to request that they air upcoming seasons of Cooking Without Looking, give Renee Rentmeester a call. Her telephone number is 888-290-7005.